This is a free Off The Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off The Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The final whistle on Off The Ball with NoviBet. Up to 250% boost on all accas. Download and play today. 18 plus, see gamblingcare.ie.
Well, it was a breathtaking start to the Premier League season at St James's Park this afternoon. Myself and Brian watching Newcastle against Liverpool. It finished 2-2, Brian, and for a long time it looked like Newcastle might get that long-awaited win in the Premier League against Liverpool. They haven't beaten them in the league since 2015. But up pops Dominic Szoboszlai with the winning penalty. I think we said it was a fair penalty call, but was it a fair result?
It probably was, based on the amount of possession Liverpool had in the match. Probably a little bit harsh on Newcastle, and you have to have sympathy for them. You look at how thin their squad is after the loss of so many key players. I suppose there's a bit of a sympathy vote for them. Now, I don't have a lot of sympathy for a team that's owned by the Saudi Arabian regime. But then, you know, there's a lot of the clubs have dodgy owners, as far as I'm concerned, around the Premier League too. But you're looking at the game going, they've lost such key players this summer, and they've only bought youth players with potential, and you're kind of going, it's going to be a struggle for them. So there's a little bit of delight in seeing them hanging in the second half and leading, but they really should have wrapped her up. Visser had a great chance at 2-1 late on before he was substituted in the fifth minute of injury time. They brought on Shar and took Fizz off, but he should have scored to make it 3-1. They had one other chance after that as well. Liverpool just stayed at it, didn't look particularly threatening, but they got that reward, a little bit of work by Muniz in the end. I thought he did quite well when he came on instead of young Ngamoa, and he won himself the penalty. I initially thought it was a penalty kick. Looked at the replays and I said maybe it was a little bit harsh, but it probably was a penalty. And they got themselves a draw, much to their relief. And as you said, that extends their run at Newcastle. Now it's 10 games since they lost at Newcastle, 6 wins and 4 draws. But I'd say today was, well, you remember back to last season in the same game, they won 3-2. Mm. They got the winning goal in the 100th minute of the game, young man, and Gamoa scored. So I suppose that might have been in the back of the minds of some of the players, that we just stick at it and stay at it and we might get a reward. But they'd be mightily relieved to come out with the draw.
First 45 minutes, Brian, and obviously it's two teams under new managers at the start of this season, but I think the first 45 gave us the best insight into this Newcastle team under Matthias Schiessle, the German, who was relatively unknown, I think, to most people who would follow Premier League football and even European football, because he managed in Austria and then Saudi. How would you describe the way this Newcastle team are going to play under Schiessle?
I don't think you can take a huge amount out of the first day of the season. You often see situations where you get upsets, you get teams that have just been promoted doing what Hull did yesterday. Brentford, exceptional performance, beating Tottenham 3-0, but Brentford were well up last season in the top eight. You can't always take what you see in the first game as representative of how a team are going to play for the whole season. It was a big day for everyone. There's a lot of emotion involved in the first game. The manager and the staff would have worked very hard at coming with a plan for to deal with Liverpool in the first match. And I think, in fairness to him, the team executed that plan very well for most of the game. I mentioned just in summary towards the end of the game, we didn't see an awful lot of their full backs. You thought that Dedic did very well. I said, yeah, he did it well defensively. We didn't see him getting forward in the game. Equally, Lewis Hall on the other side stayed, the back four stayed in position. Is that what they're going to do all season? Maybe not. When they're at home, Newcastle, I think, will expect to see a lot more of their team maybe taking the game to the opposition than they did today. Today they were happy enough for having got the early goal, to see the team scrapping and fighting, and for to see Isaac struggling when opportunities came to him. But I think the manager looks like he knows what he's about. The team had a plan. They used possession, I'd say, fairly incisively, playing the forward quickly to the bit of pace in the front positions. The midfield wasn't in any way dominant. The young lads, Stewart and Lewis Miley, were mostly in the containment roles. I think as the season, even as that game went on today, a lot more experience came in when Ramsey and Jacob Murphy come into the middle of the pitch. They didn't take control of it. But as the season, I think, develops, you know, I think we'll see a bit more of them around midfield, having to get on the ball. When you see Joe Linton coming into the side, if Livramento gets back in and Dan Bourne comes in, we'll see them as a threat on set pieces. So no is the answer in terms of saying, have we seen what we're going to see of Newcastle this season? We saw fighting qualities, decent organisation, a threat with pace on the counter-attack. And they're positive things, but they need a lot more than that if they're going to be, you know, threatening the Champions League positions.
Liverpool is a bit more known because we've seen Antonio Raiola manage Bournemouth for several seasons now in the Premier League. Is he just going to try and bring that blueprint to Anfield by the signings that he's made, by the players that he's using? Is that how you see it going, or do you think we could see a change in the style of Antonio Raiola?
I don't think we'll see a dramatic change. I mean, Areola, just like the Newcastle manager, and I think it's about 10 of the managers in the Premier League now who are all disciples of Jurgen Klopp in one way or another. There's a few of them who played with him in his career, and there's others who've worked with him either, you know, at Mainz or Dortmund or somewhere along the way. And I think that, you know, Bournemouth were very much in the likeness of how Klopp's teams like to play, given that the resources he had were a lot different to what Liverpool have had in recent years. He did an extraordinary job to get them to a position of finishing ninth and finishing sixth. I mean, like, teams like Bournemouth and Brentford, I would say particularly, probably Brighton before them, you know, over many, many years, they were clubs that were in what I would say Division 2 or Division 3 for many, many years. They weren't teams that threatened the top half of the top division, Division 1, the Premier League. But now these teams are doing it because of very astute work behind the scenes in terms of the recruitment and in the appointment of managers. And Areola's done a great job. So what he will bring to Liverpool is a style that the Liverpool fans will want to see, which is front foot attacking play, which they tried to play today but didn't play it very well. Some of the players, I think, played quite poorly. I thought down the right hand side, Frimpong and Gamoa didn't really play very well. There was bits and pieces. Wirtz, he's going to have to do a lot better. Like last season, with lots of tidy passing from him, clever passing, but he lacks the physicality to dominate games and to help out on the defensive side of it. And part of that pressing game is that you have to be physical in the pressing, and you have to make contact with the opposition player when you get close to him. So I'm not sure that that's going to work, the combination in the middle of the field today with Szoboszlai, Gravenberch and Wirtz ahead of them. Yet they probably dominate possession, but didn't dominate the match. They still gave away a lot of opportunities, and Newcastle were always a threat in the counter. So, you know, there were some average performances by Liverpool players today. Gakpo with a mixed performance, scored a good goal, but scored a lot of points and a lot of wides, I'd say, with shots. Isak had a poor game today. Yeah. He's got to do better.
Although, was he intimidated, do you think? Because we saw before the match, he got an absolutely raucous reception from the home fans.
Yeah, we only saw the bit at the stadium when they're getting out the bus coming in. But I'm sure as the bus was travelling up the road, it's a fairly open area on the way up the road to the stadium. I'm sure, you know, he could see the abuse. Even if I saw he had his earbuds in, he's probably listening to some music and mightn't have heard the noise. But he would have seen the scenes and would have seen the actions of the fans, but I think he was affected in the game. he didn't. The first half he did all right. Did some nice stuff in the first half, but when it came to the opportunities, I don't think he made the goalkeeper made the save. And he had three good opportunities in the second half, and there were woeful attempts. One of them it was an air shot. Another one he skied way over the bar. Another one he hit a player that was in front of him. And it didn't. So I do think he's obviously coming back from a long injury as well. He had played seemingly played well. I didn't see any of the pre-season friendly matches, so he has the potential. But he's got to do it. Ekitike's out now. I don't know how long he's going to be out for. So he's going to be occupying that centre forward position. And he's got to do better than he did today.
And just on Iriola, because you've talked about some underperformance, rightly so today. And it's another thing I said to you off air. Jurgen Klopp had that amazing talent of coaching players, making them better players, maybe, you know, polishing off rough diamonds to make them better. Iriola does have that talent as well. Do you think that's something Liverpool supporters should be optimistic about?
Yeah, I think that was the thing about Bournemouth. I yourself look at their team and go, I don't know this fella. I don't know this fella. Oh yeah, that lad, I saw him once or twice playing in an obscure Europa League game. But a lot of the players they signed weren't very well known players, let's say, or they weren't the players who maybe the top eight teams in England you would have been linked to, was not the phrase. And they were often picking up what you'd say were bargains, continental players generally. And they, you know, and some of the players that he inherited as well when he went in initially to Bournemouth, he certainly made them better players and players that were coveted by other clubs. And that's how Bournemouth have worked. They've sold on, much like Brentford. They've shined up what they had, sold them on, and replaced them with almost lookalikes or better. And I think he is well capable of improving some of the players Liverpool have. But I think he needs to. I didn't think that it was a particularly good performance today, and our bench looked, I would say, kind of lightweight. And you know, you're not looking at your bench saying that's frightening. If they start bringing on some of them in the last 25 minutes, you saw today they're bringing on, you know, young players. Kumas, he did all right. I think Muniz had an effect. He looks like he could be a good signing for them, the right winger. He's actually a left winger from Osasuna, part of the Spanish World Cup squad. But, you know, the young centre-back, Xhaka, did all right, but didn't look particularly strong playing with Virgil van Dijk, who I think his game is deteriorating. Van Dijk is past his best, I've no doubt about that. Mm. And the style of the game Liverpool play, where the centre-backs are off and left in the 2v2 situation, doesn't help him now that his pace is, I wouldn't say evaporating, but he's not as quick as he was and he's not as agile as he was. And I think it's going to be tough for Liverpool this season. I'm not sure that Aroh is the answer to their centre-back problems either. It's going to be interesting how it develops.
It will be. They play Nottingham Forest next. That is at Anfield. Newcastle are at home to West Brom in the League Cup before they go to Tottenham. Let's not talk too much about Tottenham at the moment. More on that throughout the season. Next week on Off the Ball, myself and Brian will be heading to Elland Road to do Leeds versus Brentford. That should be a really interesting clash next Sunday. Leeds, of course, beating Forest on the opening day. And Keith Andrews, Brentford off to a good start against Spurs. So we're really looking forward to that. Manchester United against Ipswich is our other game on Off the Ball. And before we let you go, Brian, I have to get your expert view on what has been, from an Irish perspective, the transfer of the summer. Troy Parrott deciding not to go to West Ham, instead going to Real Betis. He's going to be playing in La Liga against the likes of Barcelona, Real Madrid, Valencia, Villarreal, all the great clubs in Spain. And he's also going to be playing in the Champions League. What are your thoughts on his move?
Well, I'm happy for him that he's got such a big move, and it's probably, you know, it's going to bring him into, as you mentioned, the Champions League, whereas, you know, up until now, he wouldn't have been playing at that level at AZ, and certainly the league in the Netherlands wouldn't be of a higher standard. We see even the top clubs in Deadlands, struggling now in the Champions League level. Even the great Ajax, haven't been in the picture in the last couple of seasons. He will find it more difficult in La Liga, that's for sure. We saw Evan Ferguson giving it a go in going to Italy and finding it tough at Roma. And you may remember that I said, I'm not sure that's the right move for him, because you don't see a lot of patience with the Italian teams about their centre forward if he's not scoring goals. And it's not like if you haven't scored in the first 8 or 9 games that they stick with you and wait on it to happen for you. There's a lust for success and also a demand from the fans that the centre forward scores goals and makes things happen. They've already got a fairly good centre forward, I think, in
Cucho.
Hernandez,
the Colombian Cucho Hernandez, yeah. So I spoke to a Betis fan who said he is going to have serious competition to get into the team with Cucho Hernandez there.
So that's the thing, you know. The thing also about him is, and for centre forward, to get a rhythm in your game, you need to be playing on a regular basis. If you're only getting on for 15 or 20 minutes when the regular bloke is getting a bit tired in the match, it's not conducive to your game, to develop your game. Now, maybe there'll be a lot more opportunities for Troy because of, you mentioned, they'll be in the Champions League in the group stages, which they're guaranteed 8 matches in the group stages up until January, along with La Liga and the Copa del Rey. There will be opportunities for him. He's still a bit to do. His game hasn't fully developed yet. I think in the Netherlands, he played the game as he wanted to play. And we've seen him playing for Ireland, playing off, not necessarily as the main man all the time, as the main front man. He can play off the front, which is a real advantage, because he's not now pacey player, quick in behind, I want it over the top. So I think he needs to have that adaptability in his game to ensure that he has a chance of getting regular football at that level. But it's a great opportunity for him. It's a real challenge for him. It should be very interesting for us to watch, because, you know, the Liga games are on TV every week. We get the opportunity of seeing him playing when he is playing. And certainly we'll have a lot more interest in Real Betis than we'll ever had since Patrick O'Connell was involved when they won the league in the 30s, 1935, when none of us were around. But, you know, Irish people in general, Real Betis wouldn't be a team that we were following very closely. All of a sudden, we will be now. And I wish Troy the best of luck with it. It's a big move. It's an exciting move. It would have been a cosier move to go to the likes of West Ham. This is a challenging one and a brave one for him to take on, and I hope it goes very well for him. And you know, for Irish people, we want them playing, we need them playing. If we get Evan back playing on a regular basis somewhere like Evan Ferguson, it would mean we would have 2 really, really good strikers, and that's where the action is. That's the goal scorers, is what the game is about, Stephen. So
hardest job in the world.
I hope he's playing. I hope he gets to play regularly. It may not be that easy.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Brian, muchas gracias. We should be watching Real Betis play against Valencia on Tuesday night. Hopefully Troy gets his debut there, even a few minutes off the bench. But as I said, myself and Brian heading to Yorkshire next week for Leeds United against, of course, Keith Andrews' Brentford, as we call it now. That'll be next
and
week.
Damien Duff's Brentford. And Damien Duff's Stephen Brentford. Royce's Brentford. Oh, half of the staff are Irish now.
That's an off the ball.
Can I claim 80 that they all played for me at
exactly,
some stage?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Off the ball Sunday next week. Thank you.
The final whistle on Off the Ball with NoviBet. Up to 250% boost on all accas. Download and play today. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan, and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.